Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
We are here today. I have to say, this is an exceptionally special Kill Me Now episode. It really is, because there is nothing like talking to another comedian who you have respected since day one, who has integrity, who has incredible work ethic, who has no bullshit, who just wants to be a great stand-up, which has always been my goal. I've always gravitated toward doing stand-up, even when I was doing other things. It's about the stand-up. And this woman, hilarious, so accomplished, so fucking real.
Thank you.
You're really fucking, you are really real. And, you know, we don't see each other a lot, but I swear to God, every time I see her, it's like your home. It's like safe, yeah. Home.
I feel the same way.
And winner, you've won. You were funniest female, won those stupid fucking American Comedy Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight Show 14 times? 15?
It got way up there because then I was playing games 60. On there too.
Oh, right. Letterman. The epitome of a fucking great stand up.
The old school, just a joke.
Old school. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Kathleen Madigan is here!
Thank you!
Kathleen Madigan is on Kill Me Now! Yeah! Kathleen, I love you.
I follow you. Kill Me Now on Twitter.
You do?
Right.
Good.
Oh, we don't...
I see what you're up to.
Yeah. Listen.
Hashtag Kill Me Now.
Now, Madigan is from St. Louis. What's with the floods over in St. Louis?
Well, people that choose to live that close to rivers, these things happen.
Yeah, but they're happening more now.
Well, you could blame the Army Corps of Engineers for not properly checking dams and levees. If you really want an answer, I would point
and dikes.
At them.
All those broken dikes.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is what I love about Madigan. You know, blue collar comedy. You know, we can say blue collar that you're.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
My mother loves your comedy.
Okay, that works.
Your mother? What about fucking? First of all, you know how it is.
I do
like,
too. I do too. But I'm just saying, okay. My mother's
a big
fan of
yours. Saying that. You know, it's one thing when you're like, you're a comic, and then someone's like, do you know so-and-so, their self, and you're like, yes, I do. And then, like, Elisa, my partner, loves you, and then her fucking, I don't know who it was, I think it was her mother, like, Elisa is now repeating your jokes that her mother told her that I already know that, and she's now doing. I go, Elisa, I
like
know
it.
That's awesome.
The joke.
I know it irritates you. That's why I like it. I'm going to send her a signed copy of my next CD.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well,
oh my God. She will. All right.
For her mother.
That's really cool.
My mother is in love with Bobby Lee. According to Vicky Madigan,
Bobby Lee
is the funniest human that has ever walked the
street. Really?
She can act out his scenes. When he used to be on whatever, one of the sketch shows.
Yeah.
She'll go, I don't
know. He's a nice guy.
I know.
He's very funny,
a nice guy, and he's always at the Comedy Store, Mom, if you'd like to come to LA.
Well, the thing I love about, you know, because you are so universal, and so many, I mean, you appeal to. Oh, shit, I didn't know my phone was.
But play the song. Let's
this
sing
is
it.
My phone. Yeah.
Take another day and suddenly make it all seem worth it. Girl, and you should know it. Boom, boom, boom. It's gonna end soon. Right here. Love is on the way. Hey, it's going long.
Yeah.
Wow,
maybe it's a really important caller.
It's unknown.
Can't cut off at the best part.
Yeah. Do you love that? I don't even get sick of my Mary Tyler Moore thing.
I don't even know how to make a song go on there.
I'll do it for you. Listen.
I have a beer bottle opening.
So I'll do it for you.
You do? I love. So here's the thing. Like, Madigan, to me, you know, your demographic, like, it's everyone. It really is. You appeal to a very.
It's a little older, though.
I feel like I'm getting. But, you know, then I get, like, 20-year-old guys there, because I do that World's Dumbest Show.
Oh, right.
And they love me. Like, I don't...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You only need to live as long as your fans. I've already figured it out.
Right.
Like, even if my fans are 60, if I only need to work 10 more years...
Right.
Everything's fine. I don't care if they're old.
Yeah,
I
feel like
either.
It doesn't matter what age is in the room when you're on stage, though. You're going
to
get
a good...
Oh,
it does to the club owners.
Yeah, well,
No, I mean, whether they're in their 20s or their 60s, your jokes are going to be funny. Like, they're going to span.
Yeah, I just think kids like a little... I don't know. I talk about politics and my family, and they don't really...
They're not...
Some.
But the thing is like, you know, there's so many interesting things about you. You're the eldest of seven children.
Middle. Oldest girl.
I thought you were the...
No.
You always talked about how you had to take care of your younger
brothers. Well, that's because I'm more responsible.
Right, and you're female. But the story...
And
the oldest minded of your siblings.
And, you know, you're unapologetic. I don't want kids. I brought kids up.
Yeah, I don't
want...
I'm done. I'm good.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like being an aunt.
Yeah, that's great. Perfect. Now, the other thing is, the story of your father, of your parents, the story of your father being a pipe fitter who went to college, went through law school as a pipe fitter.
Yeah.
Full time.
What is a pipe fitter?
A pipe fitter, a steam fitter.
A what?
It's a steam? Yeah, a steam fitter would be another name for it.
Like
when they build a giant building, like it's like a plumber on steroids. Like they
giant
and
it's
pipes.
Sort of engineering slash plumbing.
Yeah, like a brewery, which is all pipes.
Right. Yeah.
They have full-time pipe fitters at breweries.
Wow,
right.
But so they don't do... I see. Okay. So,
it's
like, for exhaust
manual
pipes.
Manual labor, but you kind of have to be smart.
Yeah, it's a
I
union.
Got you.
It's a good union. Well, it used to be a good union.
And so he goes to law school, becomes an attorney, And then becomes a judge.
Oh, my God.
Because some guy died. I go, is that how you get gigs now? You have to wait for me.
Oh, hello? Well, I know the story.
What do you think I'm waiting for?
I said to Jackie, kidding. I go, either I need three more, because I work at the Mirage in Vegas, and it's this Aces of Comedy thing. And I said, I don't feel like I'm getting enough weekends. And I said, I either need two people to die, or I have to kill them. The first one would be Daniel Tosh. And maybe my good friend Ron White. I'm going to take
I love Ron White. I love that guy.
I mean, what are friends for?
Exactly.
But he
was a judge. Yeah.
And the work ethic. The more I read about you, it's that work ethic that, you know, nothing comes to you. You got to work for it. Don't apologize. And shut the fuck up and stop complaining.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, and it is... And I think that's why we bonded. I mean, we came out as stand-ups at the same time. Like
it was me, you, Wendy Lehman, Margaret Cho. Trying to think. I do one of those Ladies of Laughters with Bob Hope, and I'm trying to think who else was on it. Wendy's still out doing it. Margaret's out doing her thing, which has always been, you know.
Eclectic.
Left field. But there's an audience for
and
that.
We were not the ones... Mm-hmm. Also, Wanda came about in our, but we never said, oh, well, because we're women, blank. You know, we just did our work.
Yeah.
And I didn't even care when people go, oh, does it bother you if they call you a female comedian? As long as they're still giving out trophies, I'll take any subcategory. I'll take the money. I'll take the trophy.
You know what I hated?
I'll take it.
The only thing I hated, like I remember, you remember the times where you'd be like, calling the clubs yourself and like, I want to. And they're like, well, we had a woman here 3 months ago. She didn't do well.
Yeah.
We went through those times.
I feel like the black comics got screwed on that too. Because of Def Jam. As soon as Def Jam comedy came on, all my funny black non-Def Jam comedy friends were like, well, I just called the club. And he's like, you better not be one of those Def Jam guys.
Right.
It'd be somebody like Vince Morris.
Right.
He's not Def Jam, but they got the rap.
They did. I really do. I feel like black guys also, black male comics, it was also, we'll have one on the show, you know.
Yeah. We can't, now it's a gang.
Right.
Now
that
we,
it's urban.
Now we have a gang.
So like
black
women,
people.
It's like hysterical and, and ladies night out and black guys, it's like
women,
urban.
The
urban.
HBO Women of the Night filmed at Bimbo's.
Yeah.
Huh. Really? Thanks, guys. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Let's all get out of the car in front of Bimbo's.
One of your greatest athletic...
Achievements.
Achievements. So, and you were a jock. You were a jock in high school.
I was the worst. No, I was... seriously, I was...
Okay, but...
But...
You won...
Yeah.
You won the... Wait, I wrote it down. Mid-Missouri Hoops Shoot Championship. The shortest person... ever to win the Mid-Missouri Hoops Shoot Championship at 5'2".
Yes. Well, back then it was really probably 4'11".
That's so funny.
I was in fifth grade, and I shot them all underhanded, and I'm not embarrassed to say that.
You did?
Yeah. 15 out of 15.
Wow.
I went down to this...
Remember when we shot underhanded?
Good job.
Oh, well, like, God. I swear to God, that one, there was an NBA guy who did it, and he kept telling Shaq to do it.
Right.
Because you can't do any worse.
Right.
Than you're
doing.
Oh,
yeah. Well, you get so much more leverage and speed like that.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if you don't, like, he didn't have touch.
Right.
Shaq was just like a monster.
Right.
Throwing bricks at a wall. Yeah, the underhanded, it worked.
What about when you used to...
Made the whole family have to go to Kansas City.
Oh, good.
I snuck down and entered myself at the Elks Lodge.
Way.
Yeah, and then I came home, big news. Aha! We are going kids.
That is, did the whole family come?
They have to. Yeah.
That's so funny.
That is so funny. But you played volleyball, track, and basketball.
But you have to understand, I went to high school in two different places.
In
the Ozarks with some hillbillies, and then in Ferguson, which maybe you've seen our travel brochure in Ferguson, Missouri. But at the high school in the Ozarks, there were no people. You didn't have to make the team. You just had to show up.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And I just went along for the bus rides.
Right.
I absolutely... It was fun. I hated volleyball with a passion that is unspeakable. Basketball I liked. I just was terrible.
Yeah.
Right.
What I was good at, they didn't offer. Golf.
Oh.
That's what I'm good at.
We had golf. Soccer.
That's my son, Ben, shooting. I'm showing Kathleen
a picture.
Oh, my
God. How tall is he? Like 7 foot 11.
He's four. Oh, he's 14. Look at that form. He's 14. He's about 6'4 and a half. Has a 15-man shoe. He starts on the varsity team. He's amazing.
Wow.
He comes home from school, does his homework, then goes to the Jewish Community Center and shoots for 2 hours.
Wow. Like his mommy.
He's really... Okay, you went to Catholic school.
Yes. And I would, if I had kids, I would send them too, because I guarantee you, if you do it, your children will not join ISIS. Because there's no fucking way. If somebody approached me, like, when I was, you know, 18, hey, can we talk to you about our religion? No. No, you can't. No, they didn't know. Oh, I fell for that trick.
I
fell for that trick. Uh-huh. It's not happening
again. That
is
hilarious.
Maybe in 5 years, I need
Wait,
a break.
Wait, did you, do you have that in your act?
Sometimes, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, that, and when you were in high school, you worked at a steakhouse and made $200 a night.
Absolutely.
Nice.
In high school.
Stuart Anderson's, perhaps you've heard of it. There's a few left.
Right.
Stuart Anderson's Black Angus Cattle Company. I actually met Stuart Anderson. It was like meeting Ronald McDonald.
Right.
I didn't even know the dude was real.
Right.
And sure enough, then he's standing in my bar.
Right.
In full cowboy outfit.
Right.
Ha.
He paid minimum wage plus tips, paid vacations, and insurance.
No way.
No.
When
what?
I was 16.
No
what?
Way.
Yeah.
That's,
he went to
were
Japan.
You even old enough to
That'd
work?
Be amazing
yeah,
now.
I worked at fucking Burger King, and they made me clean up. They wouldn't even let me fucking go to the counter.
I would never work in a place where I wouldn't get tipped.
I know.
I don't understand why people do
that. Yeah, yeah. So wait.
Go where the cash is available. They're handing you cash. Like my one sister was like, I'm going to get a job at the library. Why? Nobody's going to tip you there. Are
Wait,
you
did
just
you,
okay
did
with
you
that?
Save the money or did you spend it?
Yeah, yeah, I saved it. And then I bought, first thing I bought was I signed up to be an exchange student in France because I wanted to go, I just wanted to get out of Missouri.
Right.
And that was the ticket that was the
right.
cheapest. So I did that.
For how
I,
long?
About 6 weeks. But,
and you lived with a family?
Yeah, but here's what you'll love.
Oh
you
my
have
God.
To, on the form, you fill out this personality thing and then they're going to match you with a student.
Right.
But I was kind of honest. I like, would you rather go to the opera? I didn't think of the ramifications
right.
of my choices.
Right.
Would you rather go to the opera or would you rather go horseback riding?
Yes,
right.
I remember filling this out.
Horseback riding.
Yeah.
And I put all the things that, well, what I didn't know is when you added all that up, it adds to redneck. So I got put with a French.
With the French redneck family? That is fucking hilarious.
Oh my God.
I was
are there French redneck family?
Kind of. I was on a farm. He's here. Say it.
Oh my God, the man,
oh, please.
The myth, the hotness, oh, the yeah. fucking genius of Lewis Black has just walked in the room.
You.
This is the fucking best episode. I'm not kidding.
You know how my kids smell. Like, Ben plays basketball how much? Like,
too much.
At least, you know, he's practicing. He, first of all, the whole basketball team was over the other day. I swear to God, it was like, it was so disgusting. Anyway.
Mack Weldon for all of them.
I think I'm going to buy Mack Weldon for all of them because it you do not smell because of the silver and the and it's so soft.
Go to MackWeldon.com or JudyGold.com/Mac and use code
M-A-C-K. M-A-C-K.
M-A-C-K. Use code KILLME. You'll get 20% off, which is ridiculous. If you don't take advantage of this deal, honestly, you're doing yourself a disservice.
I know. 20% is huge.
20% off of this shit. It's like, I mean, this is
and
like,
it's really
high
soft. Quality shit.
High
yeah.
quality, soft as hell.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Feels like you're wrapped in a sheet all day long. Mm-hmm. Looks good. Sexy. You can wear it at night out in the town when you're trying to look good. You can wear mm-hmm. it for bedtime. Like,
right.
It's amazing. MackWeldon.com.
MackWeldon.com.
Do your balls a favor. Your testicles.
Ugh.
Lewis, we're talking about Madigan and her sort of blue-collarish roots, yet the fucking work ethic is beyond... Anything like the okay. integrity and work ethic. And I also, all right.
She should have been a migrant worker.
And I wouldn't have complained.
Oh my God, you look so good.
Yeah.
It's all clothing.
It is not.
It's the magic of clothes.
You are.
Your hair
you're
looks
so
nice too.
Handsome.
It doesn't make sense.
Shut the fuck up. Anyway, then you got a BA in journalism.
Yeah, that was stupid too.
Why? Are you upset you went to college, spent 4 years in college when
well,
you're making $200
at the steakhouse?
Well, I
can't say I don't know why I'm going to college when I don't want to be anything they offer. And then my dad would go, you're not going to college to get a job. You're going to college so you can have a conversation in a bar.
And oh, that's good.
And Yeah, but why? Everything was about me being
Lewis
a boss.
Is like the old ladies at my 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother gig when they fucking start with unwrapping. Like I'm doing a woman who survived Auschwitz, and then you hear.
I heard it. What kind of candy do you have?
He has those.
It's a little Christmas candy.
I love
those. Do you have another one?
No.
I can get you
one. No, but you're talking. You can't have a sinus.
Yeah. Well, you're talking too.
Wait, do you have a little sinus issue?
I have a sinus issue. I constantly do. And if I have the sinus issue, she doesn't.
Yeah, that's sinus. How it works. And then if I lose weight, he gains it. If he gains weight, I lose it.
The two of you.
It's an osmosis thing. And it's also, it's almost becoming stigmata-ish. I'd say it's on the level of the stigmata.
Now, are people... Like, are your fans, Lewis's fans, and your fans, Kathleen's fans, are they aware of the relationship? You guys are truly just companions, best friends, like, really an amazing, it's a duo. And yet, you have such separate careers and separate paths, and yet...
I've edited Lewis's Wikipedia page and put a lot of things on there. That I
really?
No.
Fuck up. Apparently, I've only been doing stand-up since 1993. When I was a fucking sophomore in college.
Somebody put on there. I left it up. It was on there for months that I was one time or so currently married to Carrot Top. Because all these DJs kept going, so what's it like to be married to Carrot Top? And I'm like, I don't know. Why would I know?
Oh my God.
Well, it
God.
Says on Wikipedia. I mean, I'm friends with
I Scott. Bet he would be fun to have sex with because he probably uses a lot of gadgets.
Yeah, I would say a whole trunk.
Hey, look what I'm pulling out. You're like, he unzips his pants and then he's like, well, you thought it was going to be that, but it is this and
here it goes.
What?
I got Kathleen a candy. She was jealous.
You say that it was really your father that encouraged you to do stand-up.
No, they didn't even... That's on Wikipedia, too. No, here's what happened.
And then I read other interviews, too, and it said your father was supportive, encouraged you.
They were supportive, meaning nobody punched me in the face when I left the house.
Right.
That's Thank the Irish God. Form of support.
Right.
I'm not gonna.
Did you get hit a lot?
No, I'm kidding.
I hit so much. Did you get hit, Lewis?
No. No, it was always the fear of it.
Yeah.
It was always whip with the belt. I thought that was normal.
I got spanked.
No. Whip with the belt.
What were you doing?
Wow.
I used to curse a lot. I got.
A belt?
A belt, yeah. My brother and sister would. Oh, they'll kill me if they. Yeah. They were very not nice to me. And so. And they were a year apart, and they were like a duo. And then my mother would come home, and I'd be like, they did this. And then they're like, no, we didn't.
Oh, that's...
And I'm like, yes, so they did. And this broke because they were pushing me. And that, I feel like that is why I am so into fairness. Like, my mother was always like, why? When do you get your blood pressure up so much? Because I can't stand when people fucking lie, when people are full of fucking shit. Like, it gets me to the fucking core. Which is why I love both of you so much. But, Lewis, I love your relationship with your parents. But it's your mother, really. It seems like her sarcasm and the way she thought and the way she reacted to things... is similar to where your comedy comes from. No, because your father is such a...
Well, it's where my self-loathing comes from.
Right,
it's... Yeah, that's where the sarcasm...
Right. My mother, same thing. I mean,
yeah.
Literally nothing was ever okay. It was some fun... And out of the blue. Like, it would come out of left field. This is totally true. Like, she called me once... And I had just bought these new sunglasses, and they broke, and I was really pissed because I really liked them. So she calls me up, and she's like, well, what's the matter? I said, I just bought these sunglasses, and they broke. And she goes, well, where'd you buy them? And I said, San Diego. And she said, who buys sunglasses in San Diego?
that's...
The hell are you buying? And I'm like... What? And then I feel like shit about myself. Like, maybe I should have bought them in New York.
Oh my God!
it was shit like that.
San Diego, because you can't return them.
Right. It's like, who buys sunglasses? This is insane. And like, it was everything I did. You know, I came home with a 99. Why'd you get 100?
Yeah, that's every, mine. That was mine.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was so scared. Like, kids are not scared of their parents anymore. But, like, I was scared to get a bad grade. I was scared. Yeah, though,
I wasn't scared of that because I thought my mother, I'd get six A's and a B, and my mother would go, what about the B?
Right.
And I'd go, you're psychotic.
Ha, 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 ha.
You're out of your mind. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Right. What was the B in?
Wood shop.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we used to have to take home ec.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
I had 6 months of or a semester where I had to sew, and then a semester where I had to cook. The sweatpants that I made, I got up to model them, and they completely the whole industry. But the lady liked me so much, she goes, I'm just going to give you a C, but Kathleen, don't ever do this for money. I said, well, I wouldn't do any of this because I'm not Amish. Who's sitting at home making their own goddamn clothing?
Well, my mother made all my clothes.
Okay, well.
I was so tall. Well, and my mother would get these, what were they called? Those patterns.
Oh, yeah, the sew patterns.
Yeah, right? Remember those?
Singer.
Miracle something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And my mother had a huge sewing machine. She knit all my sweaters. I still have all my sweaters.
Yeah, wow.
shut the fuck up. And I remember I was at this girl's bat mitzvah, and it was the first one of the year. And I didn't know that everyone, my parents were older, and like they were, we live in fucking suburb of New Jersey. My mother's from Manhattan. And my father was, you know, he'd served in World War II. He's like, he was the youngest person ever to pass the bar in the state of New Jersey. Was not even allowed to practice law because he was too young. But then he went to World War II, came back, got a CPA.
Yeah, he went to war. Jesus.
Yeah, and so... Anyway, I came, and all the other kids, it was the 70s, and their parents were born in the 50s. You know, my parents were born, my mother's born in 1916, and my mother's born in 1922.
Wow. Wow.
And my grandmother's born in 1896.
Jesus.
This is who's in my house. Wow. And it was, and the value system was completely like, you know, hand crocheting and you know
corsets.
I mean, I remember all our kitchen utensils were, you know, the sifter where you turn the thing. Like I just, it was. I grew up in this. Like my grandmother was 24 years old when women were granted the right to vote. Like that's how I grew up.
Did you churn your own butter?
Anyway, so I go. I get invited to. Should I say the name?
Yeah.
Lori Blinder, who was so mean. There was a group of girls in my high school who were so mean to me. They were all Jewish. And my parents were always like, you really need to hang around with the Jews because, you know, they really thought that, you know, it's like they hate us and that they all, everyone who's not Jewish hates a Jew. Like they are from my father's in the war. I mean, that is how they all hate us. And I have that joke about, you know, I bring a new friend home. I'm like, Ma, this is my new friend, Beth. Would she hide you? but that's how I grew up. Like, and they used to show us video. But you think about it, it was born in 1962.
Yeah.
Years after, you know, Auschwitz was liberated.
That's not 17. A crazy fear.
Right. So anyway, and these other people, my parents are the same age as their grandpa. So anyway, I get invited to Lori Blinder's bat mitzvah, but even though she wasn't really going to invite me, but she stopped me on the street. Her mother was driving. She's like, are you planning on inviting me to your bat mitzvah? And because it was in November,
so
it was February. And I was like, yeah, I was going to invite everyone in my Hebrew school class because my mother's like, you invite everyone? And I said, yeah. She goes, all right, then I'll send you an invitation. Like, this is the way they talk to me. So I go, and it's at some big... Now, my parent... Were you bar mitzvahed?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so... Everyone, I don't know if they did the big parties when you were a kid.
No, in comparison, no, I had a shit party.
Yeah, so my brother had a...
It was good.
Everyone came for lox and bagels at our house afterwards. Like, we had no party. It was about the...
Service.
Yeah, and then my sister, they had dessert after hers on Friday night, and I had the biggest one. They had dinner before... And that was it. And then we had dessert after.
And so they slept through it.
All right.
And it was... Yeah, right. Yeah, they didn't even have the coffee until afterwards. And no pictures because, you know, they were religious. You couldn't take any photos and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so... And everyone else. I'm at the end of the year. Everyone else. this one's coming out of a cake with sparklers, and they're at these big fucking event spaces, and there's like a like chocolate, you know, flowing out of the ceiling around the whole fuck. It was ridiculous, and it would be on Saturday night, right? And so I get invited to the first one of my class, and we have to go to the bat mitzvah Friday night, and then Saturday night's the big shindig. So Orly Cohen picks me up. She's a cousin. She was in the, you know, when the school kids got shot in 67 in...
Kent State?
In Israel. She was in the Yom Kippur...
You mean the Six-Day War?
Yeah, Six-Day War. Thank you. Oh.
I get 40 points.
Thank you.
I can leave now.
So Lewis wins, everybody. Thank you for coming.
Here. I since saw her at a gig a few years ago. They moved the family, and she's cousins with her. And she was really nice. She wasn't in the clique, as we call it. So she picks me up to go to this big shindig. And my mother had made me this blue jumper dress, you know, and then I had to come to the city to get shoes because they didn't carry my shoe size. We'd go to this one store in Manhattan. I was the fourth generation of my family to go to the tall gal shoes, and they were really attractive. Anyway, so I'm wearing my outfit. I'm 6 feet tall. And Orly comes to the door to pick me up. She's in a gown, like a long gown, right? I get to the fucking shindig. Every person is wearing a long gown, and I'm in a jumper that my mother fucking made.
Damn.
And I was sitting, I was like, you know, they have the friends table. And I was the last person, like, where you have the cousins that you fucking have to invite.
Right.
There were two friends tables, all the cool kids, and then the non-cool kids, and the, my little cousin, and this one and that. And I was on the last seat of the... And they were all like, Judith, really nice outfit. And I was like, I can't fucking believe I have to put up with this shit. Like, how many more fucking years of this shit? And I hate all of them. But anyway, so my mother, she used to make all... my clothes, and I don't know how we got on this.
You know what? If it were what year was that around?
That was 1970. Was born.
Okay, if they would have waited 20 more 20 more years, you would have been the coolest kid there in your blue jumper.
So, but
because you were just ahead of your time.
That's what we were talking about.
What, Lou? What
we were talking? We started
with shop to homie gun.
Right. But then you know, like your parents. You're very active in civil rights. Like, your mother taught at an all-black school.
Well, in D.C., yeah.
Right.
It was segregated.
Still. Right. And just, so you grew up with this, like, awareness.
Well, there was a sense, a sense of that going on.
Of fairness.
There was a sense of fairness going on.
Right.
You know, and that's also, it's partly from a sense of fairness and partly from... my grandfather to my mother, everybody's getting screwed.
Right.
You're always getting screwed.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Even when they're being nice, there's somebody screwing you for something.
Right.
Except for the restaurants in New York City. There used to be bars, and the bars had steam tables. That was the only thing my grandfather would trust. He'd go in, they'd go, this meat's good today. That was the happiest my grandfather was in terms of human kindness.
But did he drink, your grandfather?
No. No, he would go in for the lunch. Are you kidding me?
My neighbor, Si... goes to the cafeteria at Sloan Kettering because they have really good mashed potatoes.
They probably do. Because it's the old people food and they're cooking for that.
Okay, you don't go to Sloan Kettering
for lunch.
For the fucking mashed potatoes.
It's a cancer hospital.
Potatoes.
Wow. You know what?
Now you can't find plain ones.
I'm leaving now.
Truffles in them and garlic and shit.
I wish.
Fucking ridiculous?
I would have known that in college.
I would go with this guy. Give him my number. I'll go with him if he needs to.
Have fun. He walks around with a transistor radio and bets on the horses.
Can I?
I love him even more. He sounds like a soulmate.
You are an old man.
I have to know.
I am a 75-year-old.
How you guys met? Like the first time.
I remember. This is how unsuccessful we were.
Yeah.
We were working at Catch a Rising Star in Chicago. Remember?
It was great room. In the Park Hyatt.
Yes.
But in the Park Hyatt, when you went to the guide for entertainment, they didn't mention Catch a Rising Star, which was in their hotel.
Right.
They sent people to Zany's. I'm like, we're fucking right here. Yeah. It was on the directory. It said, like, things to do in town. So they didn't
catch on
that they had a comedy.
But didn't they had one in Princeton. That was the second one.
Yeah, he did that one.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot.
There was one. Where was the other one? Was that it?
No.
Boston? No. Boston.
Yeah, they had Cambridge.
Cambridge
Catch the Rising Star. Movie. Yes.
Truly one of the
and
great
And then they tried movies. The one in yeah. Vegas.
Yeah, which was...
Winston.
It
was called Catch a Rising Star for a while, and then it was in the basement of
Bally's.
I did that because... Yeah. Oh, wait, this is the best. You know what they did? We were talking about like how they do this themed fucking comedy shows before you were here. They did... 18 feet of comedy, and it was all female comics over 6 feet tall.
Wow.
Is there enough?
It was me.
Wow.
I forgot. It was Bernadette Luckett.
Pam Stone was tall.
No, and it was
she's still alive.
Someone else.
It's not like she was dead, but...
I forgot. She still does... I forgot. But I'll remember, but that is fucking 18 plus feet of comedy. Oh, like, do they have, like, fat people, like, 2 tons of fucking comedy? And it's like, you know, it's like, I couldn't.
They could have
gotten big, fat, but I remember obese Lewis comedy.
Because Lewis, I knew Rusty McGee.
Right.
Who I fucking adored.
Yeah.
Greatest guy. Did you meet Rusty? Of course you know Rusty.
No, I never got
Was
to
his name Rusty McGee?
Rusty McGee. And...
That's a great name.
Brilliant, brilliant musician, composer.
Wow.
And Lou, I knew Lou. You know, I remember seeing you because you were a playwright and you do these plays and, but you had, you were, it was like, I saw you and I thought of the West Bank. That's all. Yeah. And you used to do stand up before the plays.
Right.
And I always thought of you as this, well, he's, you know, really sophisticated because he's also in. He goes to the
Williamstown.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, he's really, you know.
Oh, yeah, sophisticated.
And you worked so fucking hard, like at your stand up, like you, because you were angry.
All the time.
And I was always angry too. Yeah. And I would just fucking scream at everyone, I fucking hate you and I don't know why you're laughing. But you always just, I don't know, you wanted to make your material better and better and better and better and get your point across. I don't know. You're just so, like, you're just such an inspiration too. And, you know, I always felt like, oh, I go out every fucking night and do this. And I saw so many people who would just get these opportunities. Like, especially in the 80s, late 80s and 90s. Like, oh, yeah, development deal. Because I have 5 minutes about how I live with my mother-in-law and my, you know, her, you know.
Well, remember in Montreal where they were giving everybody except we didn't get, the three of us didn't get any money.
I didn't even get to Montreal.
You didn't?
Not for a long time.
When did you go? I didn't get to go until I had an HBO special.
I went.
Oh, right. I was on a sitcom.
It was 10 years after, so it would have been, it was about 2000. The first time they saw it was in 90 or something, or 89.
Right.
And I did the same. And then when I did it, it was election year, it was 2000. And they said, they didn't want me to talk about politics.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And they went through, and they wanted me to do what essentially was the same set, with some revamp,
right?
That I did when I first auditioned 10 years before,
right?
Yeah, they were never paying.
It was an
talk about the one, and mainly a lot of it was about the weather,
right?
My strongest suit, really.
Yes,
I'm still the best weather comic there is.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What year is this?
I was an opening act, probably
91.
Somewhere around there. And I drove to Chicago
91.
In my little car.
Mm-hmm. And what kind?
Mercury Tracer. That's right. Every car I buy, that brand goes out of business. So watch out, GMC, because I just bought. My favorite cars are Pontiacs and Mercurys.
Yeah.
Still love them.
I love
Pontiacs. Still have a Mercury.
You had a Cadillac.
The Cadillacs aren't what they used to be, I'm sorry to say.
I know, but I remember we were at the improv and you had your Cadillac.
Yeah.
I'm like, really?
Because I'm a 75-year-old man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And... I watched his act and I thought, wow, like I had
was
seen.
Was he headlining?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember where the middle was or if there wasn't one or.
I don't remember.
Well, that was a whole
maybe I was
thing about a middle act. Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is We don't remember the third.
Oh, because they had the piano guys.
Oh, so it's just me and you.
Yeah.
Okay, then that's why we because it wasn't one. That's why I don't remember.
Right.
It. Woo. And I thought, wow, because I'd seen like all the Funny Bone guys, like Bill Engvall and all, but everybody was kind of silly-ish.
Right, right,
and he
right.
was like making valid points. Right, and I thought, right, well, right. this is interesting. This is kind of a shit storm,
right.
kind of coming together in a way that's really weird. And then afterwards, he goes, "You want to go get a drink at the bar?" And I thought, I don't know. He seems kind of wound up. Like, right. I don't know that. I don't know.
Wound
that,
up. Yeah, I would be the perfect term.
I'm not really a wound right. up person. That energy can make me
right.
nervous, and I just want to. And I go, oh, okay. So this is when I thought this guy is really fun. Well, first of all, we both smoked cigarettes, so mm-hmm. that was a great start.
Right.
Yeah.
We both liked. Really weird bars, and there was this ladder, like a library ladder, except it went like heaven to this giant, most expensive scotch ever. And Lou goes, "I'm gonna make him do it." And I go, "Are you really?
I love it.
And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "That shot's gonna cost like $100, right. so money we don't have."
Right.
Yeah. He goes, "I don't care. I want to see him go up the ladder." And that's
when did he do it?
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah.
It was about 60
and knocked down
$60 for this.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
And he knocked down half of the Christmas tree on his way down from the ladder. Like seriously, like a bad sitcom.
That.
Like,
well, that's picture a worth at least
all gigantic yeah. ass Christmas tree,
right?
With just shit all over it, and at least half of it came down.
That is fucking
worth
hilarious.
It.
And then, okay, and then so we were just at the bar, and was this the first night of the gig, or
yeah?
Well, it was every night. Yeah. It was every night.
Right, no, I'm just saying. All right, so then you like I know how you bond on the road, so you just immediately bonded.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, because a lot
like,
of
like were you calling each other room like, what are you doing for breakfast?
Yeah.
And then when we left, there's no cell phones because we're just that old.
Right.
So it was like, well, here's a, I had a 1-800 number, a service, because I was always on the road. What, you can't call me at a condo.
Right.
So I would pick up my messages and call people back. But, I mean, to stay in touch back then, you had to make an effort.
Yeah.
He had a real number because he had an apartment, but I didn't have a real, I didn't have a home.
You were on the road,
yeah, just
going condo?
Yeah.
She was crazy.
I loved it.
If
you are in a house with 9 people your whole life, being with 2 other comedians, it's like being at a luxury resort. Like, there's nobody here. It's just 2 guys, and I don't have to listen to them.
Right.
You know, Ron White can come in here and go, I don't know, whatever. Whatever, Texas. I'm not doing it.
You know, Lewis, what you were doing political material before anyone else, like in regular comedy clubs.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't really, I guess. I was doing a lot, I was doing 20% of the act was political.
But right.
But it was, I still am amazed, and I don't usually say nice things to him, so I'm glad this is recorded, so there's proof that I did. Like, the topics that he will bring up that could cause a reaction I never want out of a crowd. I want no confrontation.
Right,
zero,
right, right.
Zero. I don't want you to talk. I don't, just, no. But some of the topics, I was like, it's really bold, mm-hmm. and you can't be, there's so many comedians that are just ballless wonders. I mean, to go up and, even last weekend, he's talking about gun control in Louisiana, and I'm like, oh my God. Or no, Biloxi.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, well, it was a little rough out of the gate. Well, you're talking about gun control
right.
in Biloxi, Lou. They love
that. But
their
that's
guns.
What I love about
him. I do,
him.
Too, because I'll never be that person.
Right.
I'll never...
I tend to bring up the Holocaust as much as possible, especially when there are German people in the audience or Polish. I swear to God, from Germany.
And Austrian.
Oh,
and don't forget the Austrians.
And it's so weird because the minute I'm like, oh, where are you from? Germany. It's like, I can't. Like, I have a physical reaction if they're not Jewish. Like, where the fuck was your grandfather? You know?
Yeah.
And, I always do, like, oh, I was there. I went to visit relatives, but they're all dead. So, anyway.
I was going to tell you, okay, we're going to throw out I rarely promote anything other than Kathleen's show dates.
Right.
That's part of my job.
Well, if he says I'm a good comedian on cable TV, he gets a dozen golf balls. Or if it's network, he gets 3 discs.
Wow. Can I have a deal like that with you?
You can.
Because I need. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, there's a book you should read.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by a German.
Oh, yeah.
I gave it out as Christmas presents. It was given to me by a friend of mine. And it's called Look Who's Back.
Look who's back. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
And I gave it to Kathleen because she's like, she's a noted Hitler scholar.
I know. You read the Nuremberg.
She reads everything.
It's the best book ever. Oh, I am. Second one, My Battle with the Truth, Albert Speer.
Right.
My battle with the truth.
Yeah, his battle is he doesn't tell it.
Spelled T-R-O-F.
Yeah, true.
I find myself lying at least 50% of the day.
So it's I can't think of his name because it's...
It's a German name. Like
but it's Look Who's Back. You can find it on Amazon. Hitler wakes up in a park in Germany. And he's the age he was when he went into the bunker. And he smells of gasoline, and he obviously smells as if...
But it's like 2011.
But it's now. And he starts wandering around. Mm-hmm. And there's no... What's truly great about the book is there's no setup. It's no, like, this is how he got there and the thing... But he was
he
really...
just wakes up. And then because he's wandering around and because of this guy fits the thing, he becomes a YouTube sensation because everyone thinks he's kidding. And he never, the one.
Oh, that is fucking hilarious.
Picture like a bunch of young kids that work at Comedy Central.
Right.
There's all these kids at this station where they're going to have him on their YouTube channel and all this stuff. And they're like, dude, this is so crazy. You never break character. Like, you never stop being Hitler. And he's like, why would I? I am Hitler. And they're like, this is so funny. Do you do Bormann? Do you do Goring or anybody? Why would I do Bormann? That's fun stuff. Like, because it's one of the, it is the funniest book I've ever read.
It's one of the funniest books I've read since Catch 22.
Really? So all right, I gotta read it.
And it's also probably... outside of the German mentality in dealing with the war, because they also mix him up. There's a German now, apparently, the legitimate TV personality who kind of mocks Hitler.
Right.
But they're all like,
he's
you're so much better than him.
Ah, that's hilarious.
You look like.
But it's also, and this is the stunning thing about it is it's the oddest choice for an analysis for a person or a fictional, I mean, if in a novel or whatever, or anyone from history to analyze, to basically comment on social media.
Right.
The whole thing is, as much as it's about the Nazis and da 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 and being funny, it's a really amazing analysis of what YouTube and Facebook and all those things, because he basically sees it as a way to take over the world.
How come
these people aren't using it? Yeah. And you kind of go, holy, it's shit you never thought of.
Right. But it is. But if you think about it, it is taking over the world now. I mean, look at the fucking... I really want to get into what you're pissed off about, but I have to say, it is so fucking depressing. I like it. I wake up... All right, I don't know what you... What's your alarm in the morning?
What do you mean?
What do you wake up to?
My phone?
What do you wake up to?
My phone. Honk, 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 honk.
Oh, I wake up to classical music, and they always have, like, news.
Oh, I would never wake up.
I wouldn't either.
Oh, no. Yeah, it gets really loud. I love classical music. All right,
no, that's great. I would lie there and not get up for sleeping.
And then I would incorporate it.
It makes my mind I listen to every instrument. I majored in music, but I literally love to sit and isolate if I'm listening to a symphony, just, you know, the oboe or just that. And it's, to me, it's like,
I need vibrating walls or something.
I woke up this morning and it was like the suicide bomber like that's all I heard. And I was like, every fucking day I wake up and there's another fucking asshole who's fucking up the world.
You can set your phone to play symphony music.
No, I know.
You don't have to put it on the loop.
Well, I hate the DJ. So I always, I'm like, whenever he starts talking, you know, that was Brahms. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. And then I press snooze.
They should use it. Here's an interesting experiment with that, though, because in 2004... I did that show Last Comic Standing, and we got put in a house, and we were allowed no phones, no TV, no newspaper.
Right, I remember.
No newspaper. I mean, nothing. And they had a girls' room and then the guys' room, so it was me and Tammy and Bonnie, but Bonnie got voted off, like, the first week, so it was basically me and Tammy the whole time. And Piscatelli, I said, I am
McFarlane.
An information junkie, and I really don't like this situation. We couldn't even have a book. And, like, you know, they're like, they go, how do you feel? They had to do these interviews with the producers. I go, I'm getting dumber by the fucking minute. And this isn't funny anymore.
Right.
It was really funny for, like, an hour. But I really don't think you should just allow people to become morons. I've been in this house for a month. I've had
You were there in a month for a month?
They only did that for one season, right?
One full month. Like, you couldn't leave the house.
Couldn't leave the property at all. I said, what happens? Is there a guard tower? Will I get shot?
Did you get a shitload of money?
Down Brentwood Canyon? Yeah. No, we didn't get a shitload of money. It was
no, they didn't.
And you didn't really want to win it.
Right.
And there was no alcohol.
It's like American Idol. You don't really want to win it. You want to come in second.
Right, just be on it a long time.
Right, yeah.
And there was no alcohol. So me and John Heffron, the only other Midwest beer drinker, we said, can we please have a six-pack? So they brought us a six-pack. John and I each drank a beer and went back, and they took the other four away. I'm like, I didn't know I had to slam them. I thought you were giving me
three beers.
But you think the information bothers you, and you think the TV, until it is taken away.
You can't have it.
Yes.
It also informs your comedy and your writing, right? Yeah. And you have to be
But I have to know everything. When I say things, and people are like, I'll be like, oh, yeah, David Bowie. Why? What happened? I'm like, I can never talk to that person again. Like, when I talk to someone and they're like a Republican, and then I'm like, I'm done. I'm fucking done.
Or at least I don't care if they're Republican, if you have an opinion.
No, I don't care if they're Republican, but if they're like...
Just be an informed opinion. Yeah. I went to yoga only like three times in my life. I was trying to quit smoking. And
I'd like to write that down. That's historic. You never admitted to that.
It was one of my things. I tried everything. But
it's recorded.
And it was the day we started the Shock and Awe campaign in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And Dick Cheney and everybody came on and said, game on. Bush came on. Shock and awe, shock and awe, shock and awe. Mm-hmm. I go to yoga and I said to the girl, the teacher girl, she was like, oh my God, today has been so peaceful. I go, not if you're in Baghdad. And she goes, what? And I go, shock and awe, you know, the war. No. Like, and I thought, I have had moments where I think, should I live like that? Like,
Would
I be calmer? Yeah. I probably wouldn't smoke 70,000 cigarettes a day. I'd probably be a better person.
I think some people are happier.
You know what? Yeah. I think there's a balance, too, of you understanding and knowing.
This room does not even talk about balance.
I retract that last statement.
It's like those people, you know, I was just on a Caribbean island.
Right.
It's those people who just said, okay, that's it. I'm out.
Right.
You know, I'm not doing this. And I at times feel like I've gotten to the point, and I think it's partly, it's not just what makes it really worse is the amount of screens we're surrounded by. It's everywhere you turn, there's a screen. You know, you can't kind of avoid it. You turn your phone on. You know, it's a totally different landscape than we've ever lived in.
Right.
And it's like so much information and so much. And for every time, it's like I was saying today, you got President Obama cries on TV. Okay?
Right.
Okay, so then for fucking a day and a half, you got to listen to people going, boy, what a sissy, he's crying. You know, these are congressmen saying this shit, but then you got to have somebody defending his right to cry. I don't care.
Right.
It's one moment in time. That's it. He cried. There's no...
What about John fucking Boner?
I know, but
he cries over every fucking...
But there's no need for discussion.
Right.
Right.
Everything needs to be discussed.
Right.
Well,
you know,
and that bitch who said he had an onion on his fucking podium.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you. You are a punto.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, because why would anybody cry over dead children?
Yeah.
Like, there'd be no reason to cry.
Yeah.
Why
isn't he crying over terror?
The problem is the...
fuck you, you fucking idiot.
Because they need to fill 24 hours a day of CNN and Fox.
But
and
it's also, like, what I don't get...
It wouldn't happen. Back in the day when there was the nightly news, a white guy came on and smoked and yelled at us.
That's the balance I'm talking about.
And then it was over, though. The news was over.
No, nobody talked about it. Because you get op-eds, and you would read... My parents read so many newspapers.
Reading the paper is
now... I feel like,
now it's on here all day.
No, I get mine delivered. I can't.
Yeah, but the news is on at your house, too.
I know, 24/7. But Like
I'm saying I like a newspaper, but you finish reading a paper. People read the paper in the morning. In some cities, it was an evening paper, and it took you about half an hour, and that was it.
It's not natural.
That was all fucking day.
Right.
24 hours a day. And now I really don't like, there's a lady on CNN in the morning, because she puts emotion into her delivery of the news, which, like, I don't
Carol
think.
Carol Costello.
Yes. She'll go, oh, my God, these people are robbing a Walmart. Why would anyone rob a Walmart? I don't know. Who gives
a
shit?
Fuck, it's just a fact.
Right.
Just say the fact and shut the fuck up.
There doesn't have to be this. Why? Because they're poor people and they're fat and Walmart has Cheetos and they don't have any money. But why they're robbing Walmart?
I don't know.
You should do the news.
I miss the Walter Cronkite. That's like, I miss the newscaster where you have no idea
how
what
they
party
feel.
He's affiliated with. It is like
it's comforting,
but also how the remember when like I really feel like I want to do a video of like the Kennedy Nixon debate versus the fucking debates we have to watch now. They have no respect for the office of the president. When our president, I don't care who the fuck he is delivering a speech from the Oval Office. You don't have fucking Donald fuckhead Trump tweeting. What the fuck happened to us? That there's no respect. You lie. No. They yell, you lie to Obama and not to fucking George W. Bush. There's no boundaries. There's no.
Yeah.
Something.
But this is what
they're
happened.
They're all in on it too, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's that phone.
It's that phone.
Yeah.
You know, because it's really.
I'll say before the phone, though. Think about it. When CNN and then Fox and then MSNBC, this before the cell phone, when all those CNN's been around for a long time. They had to fill 24 hours a day of programming, and there's just not 24 hours a day worth of news. Well, there is, but you'd have to go
it's
global,
international, yeah.
And
yeah.
It would have to be difficult things for Americans to understand.
And the stuff they pick to focus on over and over again is not really...
No, when you go watch CNN International, you realize, oh, wow, we aren't getting... Our Sky News compared to our news, which is now, they say, entertainment. They, they're all rock stars. Katie Couric's out partying with all these people.
Right.
Every news anchor... In journalism school, you're told, never join a club, never become a member of anything, because you need to be objective and not hooked up with these people.
But what about the opening of the debates? Tonight, it's like I'm in a fucking movie. It's
countdown.
A trailer.
And a countdown.
Yes. It is.
They've got a countdown on the side.
They have a countdown today for the speech tonight, for the president's speech.
Well, you also can't limit. I watch the Canadian debates, and they're so much more civil. First of all, they do them in French and English. I don't know how Canada hasn't conquered us, like, in 5 seconds.
Right.
They're already that much
Because
stronger,
they're not ridden with evil, selfish
motives. I noticed when I'm in Canada, because I was just in Toronto
for
2 weeks.
They're not insane.
I was like, where's the fury and the passion and the rage? There is none.
No.
They don't have anything to be enraged about.
They're pretty happy.
Yeah. It's kind of boring, though. I like that.
but it's much more about...
And then when they would ask
it's about fairness. Do you like Trudeau?
Well, he's beautiful. But Lou said his mom was even hotter.
Really? I love Pierre. I loved Pierre.
She was a little...
I know. Crazies are good.
What's
at
offensive
that,
to me...
That's true.
I think it's offensive to the American public. It's offensive
don't love
to people running for president. Is the time limit on these answers when they'll go, Judy, tell us how you'd fix Syria. You have 60 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Pass. I'm not doing that.
I don't know why
somebody doesn't say no.
Like,
that's a ridiculous thing to say 60 seconds to a major problem.
Okay.
Like,
here's
a complex
the other thing.
Issue.
The other thing is, you look at these people. Chris Christie cannot stand up without leaning on the fucking podium.
And he always gets that end spot where we can see it the perfect...
Right. Yeah, it's like, I don't want a fucking president who's, like, leaning on the fuck... Can't fucking stand up. Sorry. Donald Trump with his stupid fucking face. Like...
I mean,
there's no integrity at all.
It's commander in chief, you know.
Yeah.
The president used to be the commander in chief of the military.
Right.
Like, they don't even have to fight or enlist at all anymore. No idea what's going on.
So Fox News, which is wag the dog. I mean, it really is wag the dog. Okay. How is that? Like, here's what I don't get. Maybe you can answer me, Lou. I don't understand. People blatantly lie during these debates. Blatantly make up shit. Like Carly Fiorina, whatever the fuck her name is, is living in some, like, what they did. And, like, blatantly making shit up. Like,
well, they do the fact check, but they don't do it until afterwards.
Yeah.
But why is that? Why does that get to continue on?
Because the the way in which the debates are established make it impossible to put
in. Right.
Because they're not allowed after Carly Fiorina says that. You know, the person sitting there who's really the moderator can't go, you know, well, that's a pile of shit.
Right.
just made up.
Well, if we had better moderators, they could.
Well, exactly. And they don't even do it during the interviews.
But it's considered.
I know.
But it's considered impolite now. They're like, oh, well, those people trashed us, and then they won't have the debate on
the
channel
anymore.
Well,
now Trump is like, yeah, he tried. I can't. What the fuck? Donald Trump is going to be the nominee. Do you think he's going to be the nominee?
Yes, no. Of course.
You don't?
No.
No?
I don't either.
Who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be... I think it's going to be Deputy Dog or Foghorn Leghorn.
Ha, 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 ha. I hate Foghorn Leghorn.
I think we dug deep enough. No, right. I think it's going to be possibly Rubio.
Yeah.
Which I can't have because for the next 4 years, if he becomes president, any news anchor that goes... Today, President Marco, I'm going to yell polo back at the
right
for 4 years, and I'm going to think it's just as funny every time.
He's not going to win.
Here's my difficulty is that
Ted Cruz isn't the first one.
And Cruz, I don't think Cruz can win. The problem is they have this, you know, maybe it works. I don't know. I can't imagine. It's one thing to say, okay, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Alabama, you know, but it's another thing to say New York State.
Right.
Well, who are they going to vote for in New York State? Nobody says. They're so focused. I mean, I don't know, you know, but the 25% or 27% is of the Republicans, you know, of just the Republicans,
right.
Which is, which then takes it down to that's, let's say the Republicans are at 47%.
Right.
So you take that. You take 25% of that, that's not
right.
A lot.
Right.
I mean, basically, they're going to have to, what's going to have to happen is it'll be Rubio, Cruz, Trump, and somebody else. And I don't think it'll be Bush, because I think Bush is.
Oh, God, he is. And can you imagine being the son in that family? Like, you know, they look at him like, look, Jeb.
Well, Neil's the real bad one.
Neil Bush, yeah.
He's the one that's always in terrible trouble. So Jeb looks better than him.
But they were always saying Jeb was the smart one.
Right. I know. Well, and then you look at him and you go, oh, if that's the fucking smart one.
Maybe he just didn't get the personality. You know, everybody wanted to, all the people that voted for W wanted to go drinking with him and ride around in his reaction truck. Jeb just doesn't have the charisma.
But the people who vote for or are supporters of Donald Trump, who does echo... Adolf on so many levels, like get him out of here, send him out, don't give him a coat. Like who the fuck are you?
Right.
You know, the people are uneducated and make less than $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
But hold on now, here's the weird part. He truly is, and I only know this because I know a comedian that was there, not because he was supporting Donald Trump, but for different reasons. Like in Sarasota, Florida, he got 10,000 people. In an arena, and my friend Tim was saying, he goes, and Mexicans were there, and there's only like, you know, whatever, 90 black people in Sarasota, 80 of them were there.
Mm-hmm.
So are people just going to see
a
show? Yeah.
Well, it's a free show.
Yeah.
I mean, his Mexican supporters are very loud.
The three of us couldn't get 10,000 people at a free show.
Right.
So why are they coming, though? Just because of a curiosity? You don't think it's going to translate? Marco Rubio can't get four farmers at a caucus in Iowa.
Right.
So is what you're saying
part
is
of
that everybody's going to wisen up at some point and go, well, that was funny, but we can't do that.
I think part of it is just people are going out and looking at its entertainment.
It's
free entertainment.
That is, but do you think he knows that it's free entertainment?
I don't think
he's starting to believe.
I think he's a brand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we haven't. I don't think we've reached the tipping point. I think he's. I think he's just as happy, win or lose.
Oh yeah,
because
he's,
well, his brand is.
He'll call them all losers.
You know. Yeah. You know, and then he can. You know, because he can just step back. Now he's got this place where, you know, he can be the guy.
Yeah.
Right. I'm the guy who tells you what's really. You know.
Right. Right. Like, right.
And well, what's good, though, is I liked that he stole Chris Christie's thunder on that.
Yes,
Chris
yes.
Chris Christie was the, I'm the no bullshit, I'll tell you to shut up, I'll tell you right. to sit down. And then Trump does it better. You get another bully.
But I love when Trump said that thing about Christie when he said, oh, he knew about the George Washington. You think he didn't know that? He knew. It's...
Oh, yeah, that was great.
I mean,
great.
Then I'm like, oh,
well,
right.
this is
where, right. like a millisecond.
This is, I broke down. I think we were watching that one together, and the one debate, and they go... I don't know how somehow Atlantic City came up, and we, if you've read all about Chris Christie, had took all kinds of that money, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just still a shithole. It's worse than ever.
Atlantic oh, it's City. Everything's closing.
It's horrible.
If that and White House shop closes, I'm gonna kill myself. Yeah. Have you, oh,
oh
my
yeah,
god,
sent us there.
That fucking it, yeah. isn't that the best place?
Yeah,
right.
All
right. In the Baltimore
so
Grill.
He said, he goes, yeah. I mean, nobody really knows what happened to Atlantic City, right, Chris? Nobody really knows. And I was. Said to you or texted you. I'm
yeah.
like, well,
yes.
Ask the hookers.
Yeah.
They know
right,
what happened.
Right.
They can tell you everything that happened. Ask a comedian that's been
right.
there 25 years. But that was another thing that got thrown out in the debate, and no one said anything like, hey, guys, that's kind of a bunch of shit. We
right.
do know what happened to Atlantic City. And Chris Christie, you were involved with Revel, the,
right.
the casino, and the... That,
he's
that.
A fucking fat piece
but.
Of shit.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 35 with Kathleen Madigan featuring Lewis Black. We will continue the episode with Lewis Black featuring Kathleen Madigan very in the near much future-ish. So, thanks again for listening. Thanks for listening to all our shows. Please throw us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Give us a good review. It really helps out the show. And so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.